Hello, Red Wave. Welcome to Beware of Bulldogs. We're your hosts, Caleb, and you guessed it, Caleb. Caleb is back. He is a dad. Congratulations, Caleb.
Thank you.
I'm so happy for you. The Red Wave is happy for you, and we're happy to have Nolan a part of the Red Wave. First, before we get to everything, tell us how everything's going, man. What's it like being a dad now? First time dad.
I'm still waiting on the dad strength to come in. Hopefully that comes in at some point. So I don't feel different physically. But overall, it's surreal, really. To have new life come into the world is it's remarkable. And points to our creator, I would say. So I'm very happy about that. And my wife is amazing. And so my son has an awesome mom. And I think that'll make both of our lives a lot easier.
It does. An awesome mom makes life for everybody a lot easier. Well, dude, so happy for you, man. I would advertise the food train if anybody wants to hop on the food train and send them food. That's how you get your dad strength, Caleb. You got to get everybody out. All right. So today, a lot to talk about. A lot to catch up on. We got our baseball update. We are going to talk about the spring transfer portal, which I believe opens up mañana. We're going to talk about targets that the basketball team could be looking at, if there's any news about our guys that are in the transfer portal right now. And then, of course, we'll hit water polo, softball, and some men's golf. They played over the weekend, so we'll update there. We'll update you there as well. So a ton happened over the weekend, so we got a lot to catch up on. What's up, Bulldogs Bob? If you are here, head over to YouTube or X. If you're here, I guess you're on one of those. We can see the chat. So comment who you are, where you're at, where you're watching from. We see that, where the Red Wave's at. If you're not on YouTube, head over there. You can subscribe, hit the bell, and then comment down below on the video after it goes up. That really helps the video out. If you're on X, you can hit the notification bell over there as well. On X, we are Beware_Bulldogs and Beware of Bulldogs over on YouTube. All right. Bob has a question for you, Caleb. Have you been teaching your newborn about which teams he should hate as a Bulldog fan, like Boise, Oregon, and USC? That's a great list, by the way.
That is a good point, Bob. So far, we've been focusing on positives. So we've just been focusing on go Bulldogs. I think that once we get that mastered, then yes, we will go into the teams that we root against. But yes, that is a very good point.
Expectations are high for you, Caleb. You're not going to be able to get away with anything.
That's all right. I like high expectations.
There we go. Yeah, said Bulldogs. Bob makes note. We weren't live last week. I did a video, just me, Wednesday or Thursday, one of those days, and put it up. But we didn't do it live. So raising a glass to Inman Perkins, who passed away a couple weeks ago. It's a great day to be a Bulldog. I said it on the last one, but that phrase was coined by him, and he was always right when he said it. It's a great day to be a Bulldog, and prayers to the Perkins family as they go through this time. Praying for you guys that the Lord gives you strength. And so when you get a chance, raise a drink for Inman Perkins. And if you're at the baseball game and it's quiet, he would want you to yell. Just remember that. Caleb, do you have any stories about Mr. Perkins?
I mean, just that he was a constant at the home baseball games, and really unique in the fact that it was something you could always count on with getting the crowd involved. And I mean, you know, everyone has kind of experiences his antics. I know that, you know, something that always, you know, stuck with me was, you know, he always, you know, prepared the crowd for the cheer. So, you know, he would walk the perimeter of the stands and, you know, say, Fresno in this section when we come to bat, State in this section when we come to bat. And yeah, he just loved Fresno State and Fresno State baseball. And just really fun thing and memory that we have that is definitely going to be missed.
I agree. And I think, Mr. Plutz, that you should be next on the list. You're going to have to follow Inman Perkins and lead the chance.
I think
it's a tough follow, but I think you could do it.
Once I retire, I would definitely be down. I just, you know, it's not realistic for me to get to every game right now, so I wouldn't want to commit to that. But I do think it would be fun to, you know, for someone to pick up that mantle.
Yeah, I agree. It's a tough fall, but he left a legacy there. And I agree with Bob. It's a great day to be a Bulldog, should be said at least once at every Bulldog athletic event. I'm with it. We need to make shirts, Caleb. Shoot, we've been talking about that phrase on shirts for I believe since we started. So we need to get going on that. So prayers to the Perkins family. He will be missed, and I loved hearing him every baseball game. Without a doubt, he was there. All right, Caleb. Let's talk about, since we're talking about baseball, let's talk about the baseball team. So over the weekend, they played New Mexico in Albuquerque. They went 2-1 there, so they took the series. First game was 10-5 Bulldogs. Jake Dixon, another solid outing, I thought. I mean, a little over 5 innings, give up 9 hits, 4 runs, 7 strikeouts. Jacob Acosta came in, pitched 2/3. I think he faced 4 batters, walked. Or 2 batters, walk 2. I don't exactly remember how. I know he walked 2. They all get jumbled together. Then Aiden Cremarosa. No, Acosta came in the 6th, and then he also faced a couple batters the 7th, I believe. And then Aiden came in and had a 3-inning save, and that was his 2nd of the season. Eddie Salazar and Rocco Pepi homered that game. So I'm 10 runs, great game. Is there anything from the first game, Caleb, that you want to go over?
Well, yes, starting with pitching, Cremarosa out of the bullpen. That was a huge really performance from him. And he's been really strong all season. And I mean, you know, when we talk about the next two games, you know, bullpen is gonna probably come up in the discussion because, you know, as we get deeper into the season. And, you know, dealing with an injury to Jack Anker and who's going to step up, the bullpen just becomes so, so crucial here. And especially in these wacky games where it's not even really baseball that they're playing out there. So for him to go and, you know, throw three innings and only give up one run is pretty remarkable. On the hitting side, Rocco Pepi had a huge weekend. He homered Friday and Saturday and it was just kind of all over the ball. Bobby Blanford had a really strong game on Friday too, 3-for-5, couple RBI. So Tyler Davis had a good game too with a couple RBI. So I think that for Friday and Saturday, the theme was, you know, the bats were really alive and the, you know, offense was there. Sunday was a completely different story. The dogs were out of gas, but we're kind of getting ahead of ourselves here with the Saturday final score of Fresno State 23 and the New Mexico Lobos 19. So that could easily be a football score.
It was a football game.
Yeah.
It was a football game there. Yeah. I'll start with pitching. No Beal started this game. He went 2 innings, gave up 11 hits, 9 earned, 1 strikeout. That's a tough outing. And then, like you mentioned, Caleb, we're going to talk about bullpen. We instantly went bullpen. Statzer comes in and I thought give us 3 solid innings.
Oh yeah.
He gave up two hits and 2 strikeouts. Then Bryce Armstrong comes in. He pitches 2 innings. He gave up 2 earned, but he had 2 strikeouts. And then from there, we went Victor Arreola, Caleb Anderson, JT Guerrero, and Tommy Hopfe. And, you know, we gave up 19 runs. We did score 23. I believe we were up 12 or 11-10 going into the 9th. And then we scored 11 runs in the top of the 9th to make it 23. And then we gave up 8 in the 9th. so that was Caleb Anderson. He started that inning, gave up 4. Then JT came in, gave up 4. I believe. And then Tommy Hopfe came in. Maybe we only gave up eight that last inning. The scoring is off. But, yeah, it was – the bats were alive, like you said, but we looked really good that ninth inning. Our bats were unbelievable. And then we also then gave up eight runs in the ninth. Oh, talk to me about game two.
I think my biggest takeaway from game two was who was it? Cam Snyder, pinch hit late in the game. Dogs are down. I believe it was two out. And he comes up first pitch, hits RBI single up the middle just to score two to put the Dogs up. So, I mean, that's a huge possession coming in late in the game for a freshman and, you know, didn't do too much and did enough to get two runs home. So I thought that was a really big moment there. And, you know, good to build some confidence for the freshman and also just kind of showing Ryan Overland can, you know, pull the right strings here. You know, maybe should have left Ariola in for that ninth inning with the 12 run cushion. Cause I mean, he dominated that eighth inning and then, you know, just kind of turned it into a Tuesday game here with throwing a couple guys out there and Anderson and Guerrero, who unfortunately weren't able to.
Last thing you think you're going to give up is eight runs though.
Exactly. So it was, you know, just a very weird game, but I guess what you can expect in New Mexico. Thankfully, Hoppy came in and then slammed the door shut and got two quick outs to end the bleeding. But boy, that was one of the weirder games I've watched, and definitely glad that the Dogs came up on top. I mean, huge stats day for a lot of these guys. I mean, Tommy was 5-for-7, Rocco 4-for-7, Grady Morgan 4-for-5. I mean, these guys, this is, you know, going to help them all for the end of the year when they're looking back at their total stats and you have a couple of these monster games.
Yeah, we'll get to the Sunday game, which is going to be totally different. But another name that I want to mention, Murph Gray. You know, we talk about him every week in the sense of, you know, we don't really get to see or hear a lot of him. You know, he's moved around in the lineup. It looks like they found a place for him here. I believe did he hit 6 or 5 here?
I think he was hitting fifth. He was hitting after Grady.
That's right. So he was hitting fifth here. He went 4-for-6 and he homered and he had 5 ribbies. So maybe this is a start of Murph finding his, you know, finding the zone. I mean, that's a pitcher's term, but, you know, finding where he's comfortable. I don't know. I'm hoping.
Yeah, I hope so. Hopefully it's the start of some momentum, but I do think if we're kind of comparing Saturday to Sunday, the Saturday games, our hitters were very patient. They were like having really long at bats. And to contrast that to Sunday, so many, you know, 1 or 2 pitch at bats where our guys are, you know, not having productive at bats and, you know, getting out pretty quickly. So maybe they're just exhausted from the game before. I don't really know how that works, but you could definitely see kind of a different approach there where, you know, not as patient. And I guess we should give the New Mexico pitcher a little bit of credit on Sunday because he was throwing strikes and challenging the Fresno State hitters, not giving away, you know, easy walks and hit by pitch. So yeah, definitely different game on Sunday with the Dogs losing for the first time in what, 10 conference games. Dogs go down 6-2. So tough loss for the Bulldogs on the final Sunday game, but series win overall. What are your Sunday takeaways?
So I quickly went and looked at the numbers. Sorry for so we don't forget for pitch count. So on Saturday we forced 196 pitches, almost 200 pitches thrown to the Dogs. On Sunday, 130. That's 70 pitches. That's huge. No, I'm with you. At the plate, totally different. We forced, we had 3 walks. We had 4 strikeouts. This is us at the plate. I mean, we put a lot in play, but it wasn't what we wanted. It's not what we were looking for. I think we were getting kind of trigger happy with the bat based off of the day before, and they're ready to do it again, which is fine. I want that happening, but we see this every once in a while in the three-game series. No, we'll win two and we drop one. And I'm fine with winning series. The problem is that when we get to regional, did it cut out?
No, you're good.
Oh, sorry. When it gets to regionals, we can't have these games where the bats go silent. So we know the hard part is we know our potential at the plate. So I don't know. That's my biggest takeaway from Sunday. And I've said it before, you know, we talk about this, we drop one game, like we can't have these games, especially when it comes to regionals time, but I want to have them now where we learn from them. And now we can, you know, grow and attack the plate differently next time.
Yeah, totally. Another player I do want to mention is Ben Newton. I feel like we probably haven't mentioned him hardly at all this season, but he's just been really solid playing shortstop and, you know, hitting in, you know, sixth and seventh hole. And he just keeps hitting doubles. He's leading the Mountain West with 17 doubles now. And so he's just becoming pretty automatic with, you know, getting on base and getting some extra base hits. So I do want to highlight him as kind of an unsung hero here and just being really solid defensively. And other than that, it was still a pretty good pitching performance for the Dogs on a Sunday. I mean, usually they're only giving up six. The Dogs can usually, squeeze it out in the seventh inning where the Dogs gave up three runs. You know, Saldivar tried to make kind of a hero play to turn a double play with the bases loaded and ended up being an error. And I guess I can kind of understand what he's doing there, seeing how important one run is. And, you know, if they're going to score one, you know, three runs isn't a huge difference in New Mexico. So, I'm sure that, yeah, he probably wants that throwback. But overall, good to get another series victory. The Dogs haven't lost a weekend series yet this year, which is pretty impressive. And what, on the year, I think they moved to 24 and 10. So, overall, 25 and 10. So, the 40 win mark is within reach, I think, if they keep on this path of just tearing through conference play. So Dogs still sit comfortably at the top of the Mountain West here after this weekend.
Okay, I got a question for you. We didn't mention names for pitching, or at least I don't think we did, but Jake Riding got the start. He went 5 2/3. He threw 74 pitches. Would you have liked to seen him go a little longer?
I don't know. I feel like we both don't know enough about like baseball strategy and coaching to make that assessment. Because yeah, I don't know if like stamina wise, if that all is all he has in the tank, just, you know, because he's been mostly in relief roles so far this season. You know, this is his second weekend start that he's gotten. So, you know, maybe they're building up the stamina so that way he can go deeper into the game. But yeah, it seemed like he had pretty good stuff. And I mean, he only gave up a couple of solo homers. And besides that, they really weren't hitting him. So tough to second guess him there. Acosta came in and, you know, did decently well, you know, considering he was pitching in New Mexico.
Well, there are four runs scored on him, but only two earned. And I'm with you, Caleb. I just wanted to propose that question to you. I don't think you can ask Jake to do much more just because we haven't, I mean, I don't know, I'm not around him, but I haven't seen any more than that. So, you know, right now I say, you know, 70, you're throwing 75 pitches. That's fine. And you went 5 2/3, 75 pitches and we're in the game. Shoot. I'll take that any day. So anyways, this game, Bobby Blandford did hit a home run. So I asked a question a couple weeks ago when, you know, we're going to start seeing Bobby come to life. So we saw Murph and Bobby, you know, hit some bombs. But I think the biggest story is that Rocco Pepi did not reach base. He went 0-for-4. Eddie Saldivar went 0-for-3. He did get a walk. He did walk, though, so he did reach base. But Rocco Pepi did not reach base this game. So that ruined, that kind of broke his streak of reaching base. But I did want to read his stats over the weekend because our buddy Al put up the stats for the weekend. He went 7-for-20 with 7 runs scored, hit 3 bombs, and he's now hitting .355 with 33 runs scored, 10 bombs, 39 ribbies in 34 games this season.
pretty good pickup through the portal, we do say.
Yeah, not bad. Okay, well, Bob said he reached on fielder's choice, but in the box score, it doesn't show up. It doesn't count. So, he's destroying pitchers. Rocco Pepe's insane. The thing is that he said Riding is getting hit on, so he had to be pulled. So, which would make sense as well. One good thing to remember, this is what Bob says. One good thing to remember is that we only have one more series at altitude. It's Air Force to end this year. By the way, I believe Air Force just beat Dallas Baptist.
Mm-hmm.
And they're nationally ranked. And then we get San Diego and Wazoo at home. All right. Anything else, Caleb, about baseball? Well, actually, I have one question for you. This team has been very successful all year. I'm going to talk them up a lot. They're hot, and their bats need to stay hot. Other than Sunday's game, they need to stay hot. What do you think this team needs to do to take the next step and go to, you know, first win the Mountain West Championship to get an automatic bid and then perform in a regional?
Get three good starts in a row. I know that, you know, we've had a couple weekend sweeps, which have been good, but it seemed like at least one game per series, the pitching staff just gives up a lot of runs. And, you know, thankfully the offense has been, you know, powerful enough to keep up. So, you know, getting three solid starts in a row where the team doesn't have to score 10 in order to run, to win, I think is going to be what makes the difference here. And then also getting Jack Anker back at the end of the season, because you know, when you get to a regional, there's a possibility where you're going to have to play four games. So to be able to have four starters is going to be really crucial. And especially as, you know, hopefully they get deeper into the postseason, they just have to have healthy arms that can give you good appearances.
Yeah, I agree. That Anker back would be huge. Next on the schedule, Tuesday, that's tomorrow, or today, if you're listening on Tuesday, we're playing LMU in Los Angeles, 6:05 first pitch, and then our next series is this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. San Jose State Spartans are coming to town. They had a good squad last year, but I expect us to take this series, and then we get Northridge at home that following Tuesday, and then we go to Pullman and play Washington State Cougars. That next weekend, then we get Cal Poly back at home once again, and then San Diego State. And there's a few more series after that as well. But this Tuesday, we got LMU. I'm expecting to see lots of pitching, lots of pitchers throwing, and then San Jose State, I believe, will be a good test. And I expect us to take at least two out of the three.
Yeah, I would think so. San Jose State's, you know, kind of middle of the pack in the conference, 8-10 in conference overall. They're 13-23. So definitely should be a team that the Dogs can handle, especially at home. So this is going to be another test and see what type of team this is. If they're a top level team that's able to put away their competition, you know, quickly.
Mm-hmm. I've been seeing some calls for the committee or the ranking committee to rank Fresno State top 25, which I would love. We currently, I believe we sit at 66. Not the best number to be right now. But we're at 66. So right now it's going to take winning the Mountain West tournament to get us in. No auto bid. Schedule wasn't tough enough. All right, Caleb. Let's talk some football and basketball transfer portal. So let's talk football first. April 27th, spring games coming up. But the transfer portal, the springtime transfer portal, opens up, I believe, tomorrow.
I think it opened today.
It opened today? I saw both.
Okay.
Who knows? Someone knows out there. You correct us. I wouldn't be surprised if it was today, because I did see that as well. I got some questions today from people asking, should we be worried about anyone entering the transfer portal? My answer to them, just so you know, Caleb, was no. I may be wrong. I want to get your take on this. My answer was no. because I think the all conference guys that are going to transfer, they've already gone. They're all leaving already. Now's the time when the guys realize, okay, I'm third string. I'm not on the depth chart here. I'm not on the two deep. I'm going to go somewhere else and find an opportunity to play. So that's why I don't believe we're in trouble. Are we going to lose some guys? I do believe we will lose some guys. And I think one of them will be a quarterback. We see it every year. We just have so many quarterbacks. Everybody wants to play for Tedford. Don't blame him. Don't blame him. But I believe we lose one.
I think the only reason why we wouldn't lose a quarterback transfer, Joshua Wood is still rehabbing injury. So, I don't really know what the transfer portal market is for a QB on the mend. So that's what's – I probably am leaning toward. I think everyone in that room is going to stick around just to try to heal up and develop. But
I would love that.
We will see.
Are you worried about anybody transferring?
So I'm looking at all the position groups, really the only impacted room that I see is the running back room, where we just have a lot of guys who are kind of all about the same skill level, and there's just not enough touches and field time to go around. So, if anyone is, really just dying to get on the field, and, maybe the coaching staff is honest at saying, hey, your guy, 4 out of 7, maybe that's a room that we see some departures. That's purely just my conjecture, but with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 running backs listed on Go Bulldogs, there's just not enough guys to be able to, or not enough touches to be able to, keep everyone happy. So that's probably one where I wouldn't be surprised if it happened. Besides that, I really hope we get some offensive line help. Dogs are, getting a little bit more banged up on the offensive line. And so we really need some reinforcements there. So, but granted, I don't know how strong of, how many great options are out there. We saw a couple of transfer portal additions last year and, no one really making a splash or at least cracking the starting lineup. So we'll have to see what happens. Hopefully Coach Matt Smith can identify some diamonds in the rough and, bring them in.
I agree. That was going to be my question. Who are we targeting? And I'm with you. O-line. I think it has to be that with the injuries that we still have. I think Spomer's still recovering. I believe there was another injury over the spring to someone. And we have to go target somebody else. And can they make an impact? Because we didn't see that last year. I would love to see that this year. We'll see what happens. I will be happy though if we bring in one or even two offensive linemen from the transfer portal. There's got to be some JUCO guys out there that want to transfer. I don't know if they even run by this transfer portal. I have no idea.
That's a good question. I have no idea how the JUCO transfer system works.
Either way, someone please, O line. If you're an O lineman, we'd love to have you. We'll allow you to come on the show. Well, Tedford may not, but we'll got to play. You have to play first. That's Tedford's rule. Moving over to the basketball side of things, we have seen eight of our 9 players that actually got playing time enter the transfer portal. By the way, I sat down with Leo Colomerio the other day. It's up on YouTube and Spotify. You can check that out. Just kind of see what was going on. Great kid. So, and he doesn't know. And he mentioned, he's like, he's still talking to people. Wahlberg is talking to players on our team to come back. And I think I would do the same because it's going to save me a lot of work if I have guys coming back. In the style that Wahlberg plays, we have some players that would blossom in the dribble drive.
Who would that be?
Oh, that's a good question. I honestly think Leo Colomerio would be one. And the way that Wahlberg plays defense. I think he would thrive even more in Wahlberg's system defensively than Hudson's. And they, he would get him going to the rim. I believe Weaver would be good in it. I think Yap would be very good in it. And yeah, Gibbs says Yap is coming back. A perfect fit. Yes. Beat me to it. Yap is coming back. And I am pumped about it. Long guard. I mean, Yap's 6'3", long, quick. He's very good one-on-one. Dribble drive, you know, there's a lot of split action going on the side. So you're setting screens away from the ball, creating havoc over there. And if you're a good one-on-one and you can beat your guy, Wahlberg's going to allow you to do that, get to the rim, force help, and do things like that. Yap can do that against a lot of smaller guards. And we saw in the Mountain West tournament, he did it. And so I'm excited about Yap doing that and playing fast. I think Tavares would be an interesting fit just because that's how he plays, that he knows no other way. Get to the rim. I don't know if he has a shot. I don't really think he has that much of a shot, but, and in the dribble drive, it's layup three pointer. That's what it is. And so, I would be interested to see if Tavares would even consider it. I don't know if he would. I haven't heard anything about him. But I think Yap, Leo, and Weaver and Enoch, those four would blossom in the dribble drive. I think.
So my biggest concern right now is how poorly this team has shot from three-pointer the past two seasons. And so where are we going to find these shooters that are going to consistently hit open threes? So, I mean, I know we're not expecting them to be perfect hitting contested shots, but I guess the concepts here in the offense are to get wide open 3-point looks. So, you know, can we go find Jack Golkey from Division II? Just get some Division II superstars that can shoot lights out. I mean, that seems like a good option. Yep.
There are students at Fresno State right now in the rec center that could shoot lights out. I can tell you that right now. Find one that's a decent size and can sit in the corner and just chuck up threes all day. That's fine. That's great. Like, you know, that's Steven Vasquez, who's on the team. He would come in and just chuck up shots. Now, he didn't hit too many when I saw him play. So we need to change that, though. But you got to have a guy like that. Just come off the bench and be a threat. Shoot threes. The style Wahlberg plays, it's not going to be reliant on someone creating their own shot or chucking up three-pointer at the end of the shot. We're going to create openings. Wahlberg is going to get guys open. That's what he's going to. That's what the dribble jive does. It gets guys open. So I'm not. And by the way, it's way easier to shoot without a hand in your face. So everyone's a good shooter when they're open. Everyone. My wife is. So if there's no hand up, you could be a good shooter. The problem is we had a hand in our face every time, and we're already not that great of a shooter. So then it gets even harder. So I think there's someone out there, though. Yes. To answer your question, yes. There's a Division II. There's a Division III kid out there that will be able to shoot, hit those shots. So I'm with you. Transfer portal guys that I think we can go after. LaJuan Watts from Eastern Washington. That was kind of, you know, the Central Valley's pipeline was to Eastern Washington. He won Big Sky Freshman of the Year. He actually played for Wahlberg at West, and then he transferred and played for Bullard, which is Tim Amundsen. And Amundsen and Wahlberg are like this. So it's the same thing. However, Eastern Washington just hired Dan Monson. And Dan Monson was the Long Beach State coach who was fired, and then they messed around and won the tournament and made the big dance. So, you know, you have to wonder what guys think about that. And the Eastern Washington coach is now at Washington State. So I did some deep dive. LaJuan Watts has already or is going to visit Washington State this week. Like, he may be there right now. He's visiting Washington State. Doesn't sound good, but then you have Cedric Coward from Eastern Washington. He is a Central kid. He said he was going to Washington State before the Dan Monson hire. Eastern Washington was number two at the time. So both of those guys have said they're looking between Eastern Washington and Washington State. I'd be interested to see if Wahlberg could pull him this way. Of course, we have to ask about, oh my gosh, why am I blanking on Anderson? Because he was very successful under Wahlberg. And then you have Connor Amundsen, who is Tony's son, who's going to Dartmouth, or who has committed to Dartmouth. I mean, he knows the system. I want local. I don't know. I did hear and read that Dartmouth is trying to unionize.
I think they did. I think they unionized, yeah. Which I have no idea how that's going to work with mandatory practice times and such. Good luck to them.
Maybe that's why Connor signed with them. Who knows? So, and then also you get, a Dartmouth degree carries weight when you say that. So there's that. The last thing I did see that Gabe posted, and he mentioned Alex Crawford, played for San Diego Community College. I watched highlights on him. He's a freak of nature. He's insane. He jumps out of the gym. He's windmill dunk. He's quick. I think he'd be a lot of fun to have on this team. He's actually coming on a visit here, or maybe visiting right now. And then you also have to ask the question, do any of our assistant coaches who, like Welch, who was at Kentucky, does he bring any players in? I think there's lots of options. Who knows? Nothing set in stone other than Yap coming back.
Well, that's good.
Even then, who knows?
Yeah. I mean, with Wahlberg's experience at the junior college level, I'm sure he more than anyone can, see the value there and guys that want to play at the next level. I think that was one of my biggest takeaways from his press conference was he wants guys that love basketball and want to play. So, if you're taking a chance on a guy who maybe wasn't appreciated and, had to work through the junior college ranks, I think that it kind of lines up with Wahlberg's philosophy of just a hard-nosed guy who wants to be in the gym.
Yeah, that was actually, the first thing you texted me was, getting guys that just want to be in the gym, that you are excited about that. I think that's going to make a huge difference. Just so everyone knows, I went and looked. I haven't seen anything from Donovan Yap. I've heard things that Donovan Yap's coming back, but I haven't seen anything from Dono to confirm that he is coming back. So if there is anything like from Dono, from his camp, like send it my way because I haven't seen it yet. And then the other thing, if we're reading into those things, like Leo posted a video today about him. I don't know. It was just like a music video, like highlight video of him in Fresno State stuff. I don't know if I'm trying to read between the lines here. And I know we got a lot of football fans in here, so I won't waste too much of your time. But anyways, Fresno State basketball is on the up and up, and I'm excited for it, if you couldn't tell. So there's a lot of things that are going to happen within the Fresno State athletic world within the next within the next month with transfer portal for football and basketball. We got baseball going on. A lot's going to happen, and it's going to be an exciting time, all while Caleb Pletz is changing diapers and he's learning that. It's going to be a great month for Caleb Pletz. So, all right. I want to catch up on the water polo team and the softball team. So over the weekend, softball had a series as well against the Ponies, Boise State Broncos. And the girls won 2 out of 3. So that's big. The first one, Taylor, I believe, Taylor Gilmore, our pitcher, who is 15-3 overall, had 10 strikeouts, and they won 3-2. Big game. Second game, they lost 10-5, and the third game, they won 5-2. Our softball team's exciting, and softball program's getting better. So I need to figure out the pronunciation on some of our girls, but is it Sarah? It looks like Sarah Niece. She's our other pitcher. She's getting some saves out there. She comes in relief and starts day two usually as well. Our water polo team played Azusa Pacific. They won 15-9. We had two girls with hat tricks. Brooke Ochoa had one. And who was the other one? Haley Andres. She had the other hat trick. And then moving over to men's golf that happened over the weekend, they played in the El Macero Classic at UC Davis. I believe we finished sixth overall. Matthew Manganiello was five over. Ryan Furpo was five over. They tied for 13th. Sutherland shot 10 over. Ben Brook shot 13 over. And Lloyd shot 15 over. The team, where's the team? Sunday we shot even par. We shot a 28 over as a team. Finished sixth place. So not the best from the boys. And I know they'll tell you that they wish they, you know, they expect to do a little better, but I can say one thing's for sure. They would have destroyed me. Oh my gosh. So after watching the Masters, Caleb, and I said this on my video, and working in the insurance world for a little bit, I'm really starting to enjoy golf. I'm a little scared about my wallet. I haven't really been, but I'm scared about the future and what's going to happen to my wallet. but you're a golfer. You could speak to this.
I try. Yeah. I mean, maybe our guys were, you know, just watching the Masters on their phone while they were competing this weekend. Got a little distracted, but yeah, golf's a blast. And I mean, it's a great social game. So that's probably the best part of it. I mean, you can be competitive and social too. So not a lot of sports where you can do that.
Right. So overall, this weekend was full of Fresno State sporting events, and overall we did a pretty good job. So I'm excited for the next coming month. A lot going on. Caleb, anything that we missed that you want to touch on, or any questions, that any conversations you want to have?
I think we pretty much hit the highlights of, you know, everything that's going on so far. I did pull up the softball standings for the conference. So the Dogs are currently in fourth place right now, 8-5 overall in the conference. San Diego State is, the team to beat in softball. So they're sitting 13-3, and they're going to be tough to get through when it comes to conference tournament time. But it's interesting, you know, how few teams play baseball compared to the other sports. Like, I think there's 9 or 10 teams to play softball, and there's only 7 teams to play baseball. So just kind of interesting with, you know, seeing Boise play a bat and ball sport is just kind of weird, because, you know, we don't play them in baseball because they don't have a baseball team.
Mm-hmm. I'm happy beating Boise in whatever sport. I'd love to get the opportunity to beat them in baseball. I would love that.
Definitely.
By the way, it reminded me, women's tennis lost to San Diego State over the weekend as well. And I know track and field has been competing. I didn't see what went on. And we had a couple top 10 finishers. A lot of names, a lot of events. I didn't write it all down. So that's going to do it for Beware of Bulldogs this Monday night. Caleb, thank you for taking time out of, you know, all your chores I know you have now with the baby. Bob asks, real quick before we go, are there any show plans for the spring preview? Okay. Bob, you triggered me. There's a wedding on the 27th that I have to be at.
Here in town or out of town?
It's in town.
Okay.
My wife is in it.
Oh.
And it And I don't, here's the thing. I don't know if it's one of the weddings where they tried to save money and where, since my wife's in it, I'm going to have to show up early and help set up, or they spent the money on the one big party that you should be throwing and spending money on to have people do that. So I'm kind of holding out here. I don't know. Well, I don't know. So to answer your question, Bob, I don't have any show plans for the spring preview, because if I have to be at a wedding, you know what? Maybe I'll just miss it. What if I just...
I think what we can say is we will do our best to for sure recap the spring preview. Between the two of us, we will do our best to get some eyes there. And if not, we will talk to someone who was there.
Bob, if you go, you're going to have to send us everything. And if you listen to this, just start DMing us everything that you see, and we'll take it all into account. And then even after, I'll put up a question for people to go in and comment. How about that? If we are not able to make it. So it's looking like it's going to be a long weekend for me. So without Fresno State football. But I will try. And then I think this is a great opportunity, Caleb, for you to introduce your new son to Fresno State football.
I agree. I think that maybe biggest concern would be, you know, the sun and heat in general. I don't know how well newborns do in that, but so schedule permitting, maybe. I am not ruling that out. Think.
All right. We will get out of here. We'll keep you updated. We will talk to you guys Monday. I will for sure be there Monday. Not sure about Caleb, but hopefully Caleb can join us again Monday. Thank you guys for all your support. As always, we really do appreciate it. If you're a player or a coach, we want to support you. Let us know how we can support you guys. If you want to come on and talk, you have an open invite to come talk. Just let us know. Stay safe. Stay healthy. God bless you guys. And as always, go Dawgs.
Go Dawgs.